The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Well, we have a Super Bowl matchup, among other things. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Zhong Li, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates 975, you can also text the show at 713-780-3776, and it's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. Hope everybody enjoyed all the football and basketball and UFC and everything else that happened. What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports, stuff like that. What's going on with you?
Yeah, mostly sports and not being able to get my mic stand to work again. So, give me a second here. I got to adjust this thing. So, how was your weekend?
It was sportsy. It was pretty sportsy. I watched the... there was a lot of fights on. I didn't even... like, Saturday night was so crazy because there was UFC fights. There was Bellator fights that I watched. And there was the Rockets Golden State game. And then, of course, you know, Sunday comes around and there's football all day. So I feel like I watch TV pretty much all weekend. And my wife was out of town. My wife now just goes to the casino without me. She goes with my mom. She goes with her friends. It's just that's what she does now. And this was a weekend with my mom and my sister and my grandma. And they went to the casino. And left me with the kids while I'm trying to watch all this TV. So it was that was pretty much my weekend in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's kind of mine too.
I didn't bet any football.
I didn't either. I came real close to punching a ticket on the Eagles yesterday at the last minute. And I just like, nah, you know what? I'm just going to sit here and be a fan today.
I honestly, like, I kept seeing the numbers and I was like, I just don't know what's going to happen in these games. I really don't. And, you know, I kicked myself a little for not betting the Jags when it was 9.
Yeah.
And then even again when it was 7.5. And I felt pretty good about that. And I was like, what are you going to do? And it's it was interesting to watch the games with absolutely no action.
It's kind of a good feeling.
Yeah.
You're not too worried about stuff. You can actually, I think you can actually be more objective at times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've come to the realization that Sports Map is ruining my alcoholism because it's basically become a 24/7 on-call job. So, like, Saturday my plan was, you know what, I'm going to day drink today and just have some fun and then start watching the UH game and wound up texting you. It's like, should I write something about this? And it's like, yeah, it's probably a good idea. So by the time I got done with that, it's like, all right, I'm going to go for a run. And then it's, okay, I don't want to drink too much now because I want to stay up and watch the fights tonight. Don't want to pass out after I pay $60 for a fight.
Yeah.
So I wound up not drinking anything. And then yesterday, same thing. It's like, I need to watch these games. It's really screwing with it.
Yeah. And of course, like, people, I had to finally just turn off my my phone when I was watching the fights because people tweet me about, are you watching this Rockets game? Are you? And I'm like, no, I'm recording it. I would like to not know what happens if you can avoid telling me about it. And same with the Bellator fights. I was like, geez, I just want to watch these fights and then go home and watch the rest. But people love to spoil. They get mad at us if we talk about a show the next day. Like if we talk about Game of Thrones 48 hours later, they're pissed off. But they want to ruin my night. Ruin my night.
Yeah, I watched it actually turned into a full day of sports because I wound up watching the UH game and then wound up watching the Rockets game and then UFC, and it was just it was a lot of fun. But then Sunday, same thing. You know, you should kind of lock in and watch sports all day. It was fun. It's not something I want to do every weekend.
Right.
At some point, I'd like to have a day where I say, you know what, I'm just going to go and be a bum and drink and bike around and not do anything. But I guess we're coming to that. So
we're getting there.
With football almost over, you know, we're pretty much at that. But it was a fun weekend, and a good win for the Rockets. It was a big win for UH. I thought the fights were really interesting.
The last fight wasn't.
No, that was a little disappointing, but man, I love watching Cormier fight, though.
Oh, he's so great. Yeah. He's so great. And you know what? Stipe was he dominated. It wasn't fun to watch, but it was impressive.
I thought when Ngannou didn't get to him early.
Oh, it was over. After the first round, you could tell it was because he looked like he just didn't want to fight anymore.
It looked like he had taken his shots, and it's like, oh, I can't get this guy. So, but that's he'll learn. I mean, he's still relatively inexperienced at that level. So, 713-780 ESPN. Also, yeah, Mike Vrabel going to Tennessee. There's just a lot of stuff happened this weekend. But what do you want to start with? There's plenty to get to and plenty of time. So.
Oh boy. I mean, I guess we should start with the NFL games. That was the big story of the weekend, I guess, in the long run. And I think that, and I was telling Jong and Tyler this before the show, if you watch the last drive of the first half in the Jags-Patriots game and the Eagles-Vikings game, it's a lesson in how to play with a lead in the NFL, in the playoffs specifically. Jacksonville was scared, which is funny because we've talked about all year long how great they are when they get out in front of you. But they played scared. Philadelphia was gutsy. They went for it, and they were rewarded. And they kept rolling, and then Jacksonville sort of went into a shell and lost the game. It was I thought that the games were – the Patriots-Jags game went about how I expected it to go. I didn't really have a good feel for I didn't think that the Jags would be winning the whole game and then the Patriots would come back and beat them. But, like, the final score is about what I figured it would be. I had no idea what to expect in the Eagles-Vikings game. And when the Vikings go down the first drive and cram it down their throats.
Look like world beaters on that.
I'm like, oh, boy. Man, the Vikings are about to come out here and stomp these guys. And then they just got shut out for the rest of the game. Their defense wasn't good. Their offense wasn't good. Nothing went well for the Vikings. In a season where everything's kind of fallen into place for them, nothing was working out against this Eagles team. And Nick Foles had probably the best game of his career. And, you know, I'm even leery to be certain that the Patriots are going to beat the Eagles. I've heard people say, oh, and someone asked me what I thought the number would be. I thought it would be 6.5. I don't know what it actually opened at, but it's settled at 5.5 now. Yeah.
I like the Patriots at that quite a bit. I think there's going to be a lot of instant overreaction to what the Eagles did yesterday. I can't see Nick Foles putting up that kind of game ever again.
It's hard. So. It's hard to imagine. And the Patriots will have a healthy Gronk, a healthy Brady. But this Eagles defense is very good. They're very good. They're very fast. They're doing things well. And on offense, they exposed probably the best defense in the league.
Yeah.
You know, and made them look foolish. So, I'm not sure. I don't know what I'll play. I if you put a gun to my head right now, I would sort of lean with the Eagles. It's not a number I'm crazy about, but I think it's going to be a great game. I think that these two teams match up well. I think that I really wish Carson Wentz was healthy.
If Carson Wentz is healthy, I think it's close to a pick 'em, frankly.
I do too. And
although he's never played a game like Foles did yesterday, but I don't anticipate that happening again. There was a lot of stuff that the Vikings didn't react to very well that the Patriots will, I think. But
this Patriots team they're not as good as they've been in the past. This is a
no, but you just have to be better than the teams that are out there.
That's true.
That's what they are.
I mean, the whole league is down, but the Patriots are definitely down. They're definitely vulnerable. You saw Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville had them by the tail for three quarters at a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. And
how many times have we heard that, though, about the Patriots? Such and such has a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, and they don't win. And reality is a lot of people are bagging on the Jags for being conservative and all that, but I got to tell you, they did what they've done all year to win games like that, is they get the lead, and then they run the football. The problem is the Patriots made such great adjustments on defense that they took Leonard Fournette out of the game. And they kept pinning him down at the 10-yard line. It's not like you're going to ask Blake Bortles to go out there and start firing the ball down there because the game was so tight at that point. I think that you know, they played the kind of, they played damn near perfectly for them to win the football game. They just didn't get a big enough lead, and Brady was able to get them in the fourth quarter. Yep. And you know Blake Bortles in the fourth quarter. I mean, we've all seen his stat breakdowns first quarter to fourth quarter, but he's not very good in the fourth. And yeah, but I thought the Jaguars played a great game. I thought they didn't turn the ball over. They did everything they needed to do to win. And even at the end, where I thought, okay, you give the ball to Bortles with 2 minutes left, it doesn't matter. He's not going to be able to do anything. He gets them downfield, and throws a damn good pass. And just Gilmore makes a brilliant play. Yep. I mean, that was just a great defensive play. And that's one where I hope he gets the credit and not, oh, it's Blake Bortles. No, that was a hell of a throw. The guy just made a terrific play there.
Now, there were some calls, the pass interference against Bouye on the sideline with Brandon Cooks. That's just called good coverage. And Brandon Cooks got...
Boy, I disagree on that. I thought Bouye was... he was all over him. He didn't need to be. All he had to do was keep him on the sideline and look for the ball. He probably would have picked the ball off. Instead, he makes contact and forces him out of bounds. That's an easy call.
I don't think he made the contact, though. I think Cooks initiated contact and just got bumped off.
I totally and disagree.
And now, last
that
week...
And the thing is, now, the one argument you can make for Bouye is that they've been letting them get away with that for 2 weeks.
Yes.
But
Bouye specifically.
Yeah, well, both of them. Ramsey, too. I mean, that's one of the reasons they're so good is like, well, look back to the Seahawks. When the Seahawks got to the playoffs, you quit calling illegal contact, you quit calling defensive holding, you quit calling interference, and those guys will mug you. And that's why the Seahawks have always been great in the playoffs. And that's what the Jags were doing. And so were the Patriots. They were getting away with a bunch of them, too. But to me, that was just an obvious call. You can't – he didn't even try to play the ball. All he did was force him out of bounds. And if he just turns around, he picks that ball. I mean, that's the thing. That's just bad coverage. It really is.
I disagree.
I disagree with you on that because I just – as soon as they threw the flag, I'm like, yeah, well, you can't hide that one. You can hide a lot of them. But that one you couldn't. That was too obvious.
And then – you know, I really think the Jags needed to get more from their running game. And Leonard Fournette just was not, especially in the second half, he just wasn't as great as he's been most of this season. And what's funny is, I mean, you know, the Jags with a lead have been able to run him and run him effectively. And the Patriots found a way to slow him down. And they almost forced their hand to Bortles. And like I said, Bortles played about as well as you could have asked him to.
Oh, yeah. No turnovers.
Like, yeah. I mean, 293 yards passing. Like, if you had told me he had that and they didn't get, like, 293, if they lost, you know, 35-14, I'd say, okay, I could see that. He had to just chuck it around and they got into a prevent, like, last weekend. You know, last weekend, Ben Roethlisberger puts up big numbers, didn't play a great game. Because Jacksonville got a big lead and Pittsburgh was chasing the whole game. Blake Bortles was in the lead most of the game and just making really good throws, making smart throws, making good decisions. And he was off on a couple. He wasn't as accurate as he could have been. But overall, if you told me this is the game Blake Bortles has, you're in pretty good shape. But the running game that's been there all year long did not show up.
That was really good in the first half. And what the Patriots did, they took away those swing passes to Grant and those plays outside, and then they took away Fournette, basically, and just said, all right, yep, Blake Bortles beat us. And they also got some pressure on him in the second half as well, which they didn't in the first. So, as much as I dislike the Patriots, I was really rooting for the Jags to win the game, even though I don't know if the Super Bowl would have been as interesting. But I got to give the Patriots credit for the adjustments they made, for the plays they made, and there's a reason why they just keep winning these damn games.
I'll give you one more questionable call that, in the end, hurt Jacksonville. Deion Lewis fumbles. The Jags score on that. They scoop and score.
Yeah, that was.
And the refs blew it dead. You got to let that play out. And yeah, it wasn't even. It was a horrible call. I mean, the ball was coming out before he even started falling to the ground.
I think the only thing. I think you let that play out and then see if he's down by contact.
Exactly.
Because and it's hard. But see, that's the thing. If you do let him go, I don't know if you can overturn it. I mean, it's just one of those. It was hard for me to tell. It looked like he was down by contact because he'd made contact and then got the ball. But, yeah, I thought that was a bad one. They should have let that go because that probably would have been a scoop and score. Yep. And then the Patriots would have just scored twice.
Yeah, maybe so.
I mean, that's what they do. All right, quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Tri-Eagle Energy. They are a born and raised in Texas company. They care about providing a good, low electricity rate, and they provide all the tools to help you decrease the amount of energy your home uses. Use promo code ESPN. You'll get a discount. If you're in the CenterPoint territory, you can get the Smart Energy 36 plan locked in at 8.9 cents for 3 years. That includes the all-new EcoBee 4 thermostat with Alexa voice service, so you can ask your EcoBee to set a timer, read you the news, adjust the temperature, and more. Tri-Eagle Energy also come out and install it for free. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com, PUCT number 10064.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One thing I didn't like was the call on Jalen Ramsey on the pass interference. I thought that was one where they were both going for the ball.
Yeah.
So that one I think you got a beef on. And I think the Miles Jack thing, too, you got a legitimate beef on. But
boy, Miles Jack is a hell of a player, man.
Yeah,
that guy's kind of going under the radar, and everybody talks about Jalen Ramsey.
Well,
he
was covering receivers at times. Yeah. I mean, he's all
over
the field.
He's a hell of a player.
Yeah, they did well with him. The two that people are bitching about that, you know, I don't think they have a bitch on are, like I said, there's a lot of just automatic Patriots hatred out there, which I get. And people always think they get the benefit of the doubt, and especially when they're looking at the potential matchups in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I think that's a lot of where the Bouye stuff comes from. But there's a lot of people saying, oh, well, the Gronkowski hit wasn't a helmet to helmet. I don't think Church led with his helmet. I think he led with his shoulder. I don't think it was dirty, but he hit helmet to helmet.
Yeah,
it's a penalty.
That's sort of that's the rules. Yeah, I don't like it either, because I don't think that's the way the rule is written to be enforced, because there's no other way for him to tackle him other than to take his knees out. And if he takes his knees out, everybody, oh, he's a dirty player. I mean, he was going for his body. Gronk ducks into him. And I think if Gronk actually had made that catch, he would have kept his head up. When the ball drops, your head automatically kind of drops with it, and it forced contact. And you know what? I'm sure both players wish they could have taken it back, because then the Patriots had to play the rest of the game without their best skill position player. And, you know, the Jags get a 15-yard penalty on it. But that was a tough break, but I do think it was the right call.
Yeah, that one's just one of those unfortunate ones. And we see it all the time where the head comes down and the guys – I mean, I don't think in any way Barry Church was trying to take his head off. I think he was leading with his shoulder, and Gronk's head came out down, helmet to helmet. That's a penalty. And a lot of people were complaining about the delay of game, but I thought the clock was at zero. I mean, I've seen the replay twice. It looked like a delay of game to me. Where I think if you want to bitch about the refs, like I said, the Ramsey calls one, the Jack calls another. And I think there were several times, and both teams did this, so it was kind of going both ways. It just did seem like the Jags were the ones who got called for it. But there was a lot of defensive backs getting there just a little bit early on a lot of passes that wasn't called. And we saw that in the other game too. And that's the same thing we saw last week in the Steelers game. They just, it seems like they've decided in the playoffs, we're not going to call illegal contact. We're not going to call them if they're there a half a beat soon. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. But I do think there were a couple times where there should have been illegal contact calls on third down plays for the Jaguars that could have kept those drives going. And it just, they weren't so obvious that you had to call them. But I sure thought you could have.
Right.
But having said that, I mean, I don't know that it matters. It's just, you know, the Patriots always seem to find ways to win these games. Keith says, I was surprised there weren't more design run calls for Bortles. I was a little surprised they didn't do anything with that in the second half when nothing else was working.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed like, you know, fake the ball to Fournette and roll out on a boot and even give him a run pass option or just take off running. I would have liked to seen some of that. They weren't very creative in the second half with the offense. They basically thought, hey, we're going to hand off, and that doesn't work. We'll throw the ball, but try to keep the throw safe. And that worked great in the first half. But then when the Patriots took that away from them, they didn't really come up with anything else. Let's take a call. Joey wants to weigh in on something right before the half.
Hello.
Hey, sports.
Hey, guys. Hey, I have a quick question for you. I was watching a game, and roughly it was 56 and 57 seconds left on the clock before halftime. The Jaguars had the ball in two timeouts, and they chose to kneel the ball instead of marching down the field maybe and scoring some points. Do you think that was the right call, or do you think that was a bad call?
Well, that's what I was talking about when in the first segment when I said, look at the way the Eagles finished out the first half and look at the way the Jaguars did. The Jaguars played scared. And, yeah, I absolutely do believe it cost them. And there is something to be said about, you know, trying to do too much with the lead. Last year, Kyle Shanahan in the Super Bowl tried to do too much with the lead. But you've got two timeouts. Like, making an attempt to get down and kick a field goal isn't doing too much. You know you're going to need to score points. But Jacksonville, the way they've operated all season long, is they get a lead. They are conservative offensively. And they just hope that their defense can lock down. And this time it just didn't work.
Well, I feel bad for my doppelganger on the sideline. But yeah. The reality is...
he's got way more hair than you.
Yeah.
That guy does have a nice head of hair an old guy.
Yeah, but as long as he's wearing his hat...
Yeah, it does look like you.
Even the wife's like, boy, you look mad on that play. It's like, shut up, woman. But I don't want to defend him for it too much. I think it says how much they trust Blake Bortles.
Yeah,
in that situation, because you're now throw a screen pass or something and see if you get 10 or 15 yards. I think I saw somewhere they're the first team in NFL playoff history with 55 seconds and two timeouts that took a knee. And I thought that was a little conservative. I would have liked to have seen one play. I mean, not you don't have to chunk it downfield and get it picked. You could have easily run a little screen pass. You could have, you know, run something that's an easy route, and maybe you get 10 or 15 yards, and then you can open it up a little bit. But that was almost like, no, we got the lead here. We're gonna go to the half with it. And again, these are all little things that add up in the end, because you can't give the Patriots those kind of chances. They will take advantage of them.
Yep.
We saw it all year. AKA says, I only saw it once, but they should have let the strip fumble go for a TD. I agree. I would have liked to have seen them not blow the whistle there.
Boy, Jacksonville, too. They're spiking the football. They knew. They knew. And it was so obvious that ball was out.
Well, but from the angle where the ref was when he was rolling, you couldn't really tell until it looked like he was down.
Right. But if you can't tell, don't you just let the play go on?
Well, that's what they teach him to do. Well,
that's what I would. I mean, these guys are just so quick with that whistle. And it's like, dude, worst thing that happened. I mean, that's a painful slip up.
832 says the reality is people can't be rational about Patriots games because they're such a polarizing team. That's true. It's just like,
yeah, but like I feel, you know, I grew up a Bills fan, and I've always hated the Patriots. But like now I've gotten to where watching that game, I didn't care if the Patriots won or lost. I feel like I'm about as down the middle as it gets on sports now, because I just don't care about any teams. Like I don't care who wins. I don't care who loses anymore. I just want to see the games. And I used to loathe the Patriots, and now I'm just like, well, they're pretty good. And I actually enjoy seeing their greatness. It's the same thing I say about Alabama. Like, I'm not really an Alabama fan, but it is cool to see a team like just have such, you know, dynasty type success. It makes the game interesting to me. You know, you always know there's going to be, you know, Goliath show up at the Super Bowl. And you've got someone coming and try to slay it. I like that thing, but you know, I don't feel like I'm biased against the Patriots or for the Patriots. I don't really care.
I do sense that there's a lot of just, oh, it's a Patriots, so automatically, it's.
I don't think the Eagles are a beloved team, so it should be a wash. Actually,
the Eagles are a lot of fun. Their fans are a little bit different,
right? People hate the Eagles because of their fans.
Yeah, and they're kind of a fun team, but yeah. They're horse punching, beer can throwing fans. One of my favorite tweets I saw yesterday was that something about, oh well, let's not go to that old narrative about Philadelphia fans being terrible because of this beer can thing. And it's, yeah, you kind of have to. And some of the other stuff that happened after the game, yeah, you do. It's not an old narrative. It's not a cliche. It's a reality. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. A couple of pretty good points. How about the Jags do more than three and out after the Miles Jack play?
Yep.
And Lamont stopping third and 18 would have helped. Yeah, they had their chances. I mean, you know, but I do think those were... 2-8 once. As an Eagles fan, I've never thrown beer at anyone who didn't deserve it. Well, not a good look. Not a good look. Drunk Bevo says, yeah, I hate Eagles fan. Once I saw one throw a full water bottle at a Cowboy fan holding an infant. Bottle hit the baby in the face. The guy just laughed. Well, it is one less Cowboys fan, so there is a positive to that. Yeah, that was the one thing about them throwing those beer cans. There were kids in that line of Vikings fans that were going into the game. It's like, come on, man. Coach Zach says, did you find it odd that replays weren't ever shown when the Pats had questionable plays that could have resulted with flags? I didn't notice that.
I didn't either. Maybe I wasn't paying that close attention, but no, I didn't notice it.
No, I, you know, like I said, I think there were a lot of, especially in those crossing routes, there were a lot of plays that I think during the regular season, and I think both teams, but maybe more with the Pats, if you want to try to make that case, maybe, that should have been called, but I also like it better when they actually let them play. And let's try Damon. What's up, Damon?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I've been listening to the majority of y'all programs on the radio today, and I saw some on network, ESPN Network TV, and it just seems like most of the analysts would try to lead us to believe that we're not seeing what we're seeing and excuse every bang-bang call or every call that goes the Patriots' way. It seems like they just make an excuse of, oh, no, it's not that big of a deal. It's the playoffs. That's what they do. But the Patriots get the benefit of the doubt on all of those calls. Now, they're a good football team, and they make plays and make things happen. But over the course of a game, when you get the benefit of the doubt on all of the calls, that does turn a game in one direction or another. An intense AFC championship game, there's no way that the Patriots only committed one penalty. And that's not why they lost. The Jags had opportunities, but that does affect the sway a game when the referee, the benefit of the doubt calls seem to go the Patriots' way. And not just this game. I can think back to when they played the Pittsburgh and that overturned catch play. Like, they always get the benefit of the doubt, and the optics don't look good when you have referees appear to be celebrating or congratulating and befriending Tom Brady on the field. That just, the optics doesn't look good, and it's a factor. It's definitely a factor. Now, they did what they needed to do to win the game, but a lot of times, or I've been noticing, it sounds like the analysts have been talking like, oh, it's not a big deal. The Patriots did this, and they just won the game. No, it's a factor when they get the benefit of the doubt of all the calls.
Right, let me jump in, because I don't think that Steelers call was a benefit of the doubt. The ball wasn't caught by the rules. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
That's not a benefit of the doubt thing. And if that's making excuses for the rules being the rules, okay. Listen, I think there were a lot of things, and yeah, did they commit more than one penalty? Absolutely, I thought so. Did the Jags commit more than seven? Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of things they let go. They let a lot of holding calls on the offensive line go, and that's okay, let them play. But I don't think that the helmet-to-helmet was a benefit of the doubt call. And, you know, I just think a lot of people look at it like, oh, the Patriots always get the benefit of the doubt. It's a conspiracy because we have to create these things. You know, the better teams tend to commit fewer penalties. They tend to get things to go their way. Because you know what it's like? Patriots are Tiger Woods back when he could still play golf. And other guys would get into a situation where they're tied with him going to the 18th hole and then they chunk a ball or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens. A lot of teams tighten up in these situations. And, you know, I think it's an easy narrative to create, but – I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that you really think Roger Goodell wants the Patriots in there every year? You really think that's the case?
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, I don't think they like each other very much. And You know, you got your future Lions coach wearing a Roger Goodell bozo shirt last year after the Super Bowl. Do you really think that right. the NFL is going to go out of their way?
Well, but at the end of the day, what's going to make the NFL more money?
It's the Super Bowl. It's not going to matter. I mean, yeah, the ratings are going to be down no matter what.
But
so.
You know, the ratings on a Patriots-Eagles Super Bowl versus an Eagles-Jags Super Bowl, you know there's a difference.
Yeah, see, I think you may have a little... I think you may have a little reaction this year just to people are sick of the Patriots.
Could be.
I think you may see that. I mean, the ratings were going to be down no matter what. That's the Super Bowl's still going to do great numbers, but everything's been down. So, A3O says, not a Patriots fan, but I'm tired of seeing everyone credit the Pats' wins to the refs. Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I think we're losing sight of the, you know, the Jaguars had their chances. Let's try Phillip.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Sports is going on.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say, I haven't seen it since last night because I'm driving. But if I'm not mistaken, when the running back for the Patriots fumbled the ball, did he touch Miles Jacks while he recovered the ball, which would make him down by contact? I'm not sure if he did, but if I'm not mistaken, I thought I saw that last night.
Maybe they did.
Yeah, that's what we needed to see a review on.
But they never showed it because it was never – that part of the play was never even reviewable. Because they said that Deion Lewis was down by contact before he fumbled, which he clearly wasn't. And had they let the play go, then maybe we would have found out. And if Miles Jack was down, then the ball's dead right there anyway. But by blowing the whistle when they did – They didn't blow the whistle because they thought Miles Jack was down by contact. They blew the whistle because they thought Deion Lewis was down by contact.
Yeah.
That's where I think they made a mistake.
But I'll go back and watch it a few more times, but it sure looked like when and again, it depends on what they consider down by contact, but they went down together. They were touching each other when Miles Jack took the ball away from them. So I could understand if they called that down by contact, but I would have liked to have seen it reviewed. And I mean that's because that would have been a big play.
I think if he returns that for a touchdown, I think they would have had a hard time saying that it wasn't a touchdown based on what I saw.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch that a few more times because I was actually talking to Joel Blank about that earlier today. And it's like, you know, by letter of the law, would that be considered down by contact? Because we see a lot where a guy has possession of the ball, he's touched, and then appears to not, and that, I mean, that just is a play you don't see very often where you're taking the ball away from the receiver. I think you almost have to be down by contact in that situation because he was down on the ground after taking the ball from the guy and contacting him. But I need to go watch that one a few more times because I never really watched it for that, just the way it played out. But yeah. 713-780-ESPN. 832 says, it's a tough watch this year. Usually you want to root against the Pats. This year you can't because no one wants to see the Eagles fan with a Super Bowl win.
Yeah.
I don't know who I'm going to be rooting for. I mean, it's I'm kind of interested.
I'm not rooting for the Patriots.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
But
I might bet on them, and if I do, I kind of have to.
Yeah.
So. First off, congrats to Romo for making it to the conference championship.
Ouch.
Is it me or does Romo need to be a defensive coordinator the way he predicts plays? Boy, he was, yeah, I think he's really good at, okay, this is what they like to do in this situation, and he nailed it a lot of times. But, man, the sound effects, we gotta do away with those. Yeah, it's like, okay, Tony, enough. Let's try Steve. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Maybe I misunderstood what you said, but I'm pretty certain, that they had they awarded the ball to the Jags, and they were, the challenge or the review was to see if it stayed with the Patriots. So they called it on the field as being the Jags' ball, then they never should have stopped that play.
Well, from what I understood, again, I watched this game in a loud bar. So maybe I didn't get it right, but for me, the way they said it on the air was that they had called Deion Lewis down by contact. That's why they kept showing the ball getting ripped out in the replay.
But they hadn't given the Jags possession.
Okay.
Well, they were reviewing to see if that Lewis recovered the fumble, and it was I mean, it was close.
And it was a call stands?
Yeah, it was a call stands. And he had his arm underneath the ball, so it's like, by definition of possession, it was close. But to me, he didn't have it. And then when Jack took it out of his hands, I think you pretty much have to call Jack down by contact because he was in contact with him as he was going to the ground.
Right.
So, again, though, in that situation, you're right. Let it play out and let him run the ball back as far as he can. And then you go back and look at that. And if you see that he's down by contact, okay. Theoretically.
All right, guys. Going to tell you about dirt-free carpet cleaning. Listen, if you if your house is still a wreck after New Year's or after you had people over for Christmas, whatever it was, now's the time to save big on cleaning them. Your carpets, your air ducts, your tile, your upholstery. Do it all with dirt-free carpet. Right now, they'll clean one room free with any purchase, which means you pay for one room. They'll clean the second one absolutely free. 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373. Go chemical-free with dirt-free carpet. They use powerful engines that create a high-pressure steam made from their patented super water. Your carpets are fresh. They're deep clean without soap, without unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. They've been doing this for over 30 years now, guys, cleaning upholstery, your floors, your oriental rugs, even your air ducts. 281 dirt-free. Tell them you heard it here on ESPN 97.5, and they'll clean one room free with any purchase. That's 281-347-8373 for dirt-free carpet.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. It's time to get on the map. SportsMap.com is your one-stop shop for all things Houston sports on the internet. Follow us on Twitter at SportsMapHOU. Tons of great stuff on there today. A.J. Hoffman's college basketball report, which has kept me interested in college basketball all year for a change. Got a column from Joel Blank comparing Bill O'Brien's extension to Mike McCarthy's. And interesting column, to say the least. Got our Rockets recap on there from Paul Muth. We've got Jermaine Every's wrap-up of the championship games on there. We've got some got a video from Mindy Leveneau on training for a marathon. All kinds of good stuff. So check it out, sportsmap.com. All right, let's squeeze in a couple calls real quick. Joe. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports.
All right. So, I mean, I know you guys were talking about how, you know, the flag on the hit on Gronk was, you know, obviously unnecessary roughness. But, I mean, if you just want to look at, you know, the penalties being applied to the Patriots and not to, you know, in other situations, like 2 weeks ago, right, in the you know, wild card round, Travis Kelce got absolutely lit up by Jonathan Cyprian in a play that was, like, almost the exact same. And, you know, no call whatsoever. I mean, Kelce was, like, out on his feet, blatant, helmet to helmet, and no call. So, I mean, you know, take from that what you will. But, you know, I think it's pretty clear that those guys get the benefit of the doubt in situations like that.
Well, and remember, I mean, it's a different officiating crew. It's a different officiating crew, and why be upset about the game where they got the call right instead of being upset about Kelce not getting a flag? That's where you should be upset, because the call was the right call. You can't be angry at the NFL or say that they're playing favorites when they got the call right on this one. Like, if you want to say that they were playing favorites, complain about the call in the Kansas City game. But that's when they get the call right. I'm not gonna pretend like there's some sort of, you know, extra motivation behind it, because to me that Gronk hit was the right call.
Yeah, although I don't, for people who are calling it a dirty hit, I disagree. I think he was trying to lead with his shoulder. It's just one of those that happens, and you see it a lot, and it winds up getting flagged. But it was the right call. And just because some game 2 weeks ago or some game 10 weeks ago they didn't make the call, that has nothing to do with it. It's a different crew. I just think everybody wants to, you know, go out of their way to create this conspiracy. And the truth is, I don't buy it. I don't. And I don't like the Patriots. I'd love to see them lose. I was rooting for the Jaguars. I really was. I wanted to see them get there as much as I would have had to eat a lot of crow saying that Blake Bortles will never get a team to a Super Bowl. But Blake Bortles did about as well as he could do yesterday. And it just, you know, they won the game. Give them credit. I know you hate them, but it's okay. Corey, one more. What's up?
Hey, guys, you there?
Hey, sports.
Yeah. Sports to you. Hey, I just wanted to say on that fumble recovery that they had called down, I'm not 100% positive, but I'm pretty sure that whenever he stripped the ball and they were going down, I know we would say that might be down by contact, but I feel like the ball was floating in the air a little bit as if he didn't even know it was there, and it was already separated, and at that point he takes possession. Now, having said that, I don't think for one second that, you know, the Patriots won the game. I wasn't going for them either. I'm not a Jaguars fan, not a Patriots fan, and they did come back and win, but I do think that that might have been a really big deal for the Jaguars. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think in that situation, you let him run it out, and if he was down after you review it, he's down.
Yeah.
Because I think the call, if the call stands, I think that means they didn't have sure enough evidence one way or the other, which means it probably would have stood the other way.
Yeah, I'm still looking for a good video of it. I just want to see it again because I really wasn't looking at it in terms of was he down by contact? Because they were both on the ground fight, and he stole the ball from Lewis while they were both on the ground. So I just assumed he was down by contact. But it also was clear fumble recovery because the ball was coming out. But and what they were reviewing for was to see whether or not Lewis still had the football, which I don't think he did. All right, we'll do one more here against my better judgment. Oh, you, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I'm here to take up for Eagle fans. I don't see it as an anger problem or not. I see it more of like maybe a chromosome problem because the founding mothers of Philadelphia originally named that city the City of Brotherly Lovemaking. So, and over the years it's changed, but I think that's the biggest issue.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
All right. Okay, we haven't really talked much about the other game, which really not much of a contest.
No. Well, I mean, we're about to hit the break, but maybe that's how we can
start
off
the next
5 o'clock hour. I think they're, despite it not being a close game, I still think there's plenty to talk about.
Oh, I agree.
Especially considering an article I wrote last week.
Well, and we'll get to that because I think there's a couple ways to look at the whole Case Keenum situation after that game. 281 says fans turning the game into the Zapruder film, trying to discredit anything the Pats did, just stupid. So, and again, that delay after a timeout was bad, but there's a lot of things that could have gone the Jaguars' way and didn't, but I think a lot of that comes down to, Brady still threw a beautiful pass to Amendola in the back of the end zone. I mean, they still make the plays. I just don't understand. So
now, I might have seen this differently, but did you think that Church was there in time to maybe push him out? Amendola. In the back of the
yes,
end zone.
Well, oh, he was. Especially when his back leg came up. If he just shoves him there, I don't.
That's not a touch. Yeah.
I think he gets him. Yeah, I think he stops the play. But breaking news, by the way, Shermer to the Giants.
The least surprising news of the day today.
Yeah, that's. I think we've known about that for a while. And had the Patriots lost, I think you'd have
McDaniels
to the Colts and Patricia to the Lions.
It's a matter of time on all these.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, we'll discuss that other game. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.